All right. Good evening, everybody. Good to see you, all of you. Tonight, it may come as a surprise, but I want to get down and dirty. Yeah, down and dirty, because we're talking about prayers and blessings. So we're going to get really down and dirty. We're going to talk about a blessing that you say after you go to the bathroom. It sounds crazy, but it is one of the most profound blessings of all time. It really is. I don't know what Siddur you may have, but it's known as the Asher Yotzar prayer. I'll read it quickly and we'll discuss it, but there are some really critical fundamental lessons that need to be understood from this. So here it is. If you have the one that they use here in Beth Shalom, it's on page 99 towards the bottom. If it's an art scroll, then it's at the bottom of page 15. But here's what it says. Blessed are you, Hashem, our God, King of the universe, who fashioned man with wisdom and created within him many openings and many cavities. Not the ones that you see. Cavities as in open spaces.
Hi.
Hi, perfect timing. We're just getting started.
Great.
Okay. Isn't this Asher Yotzar? It is obvious and known before your throne of glory that if but one of them were to be ruptured or but one of them were to be blocked, it would be impossible to survive and stand before you. Blessed are you, Hashem, who heals all flesh and acts wondrously. Okay, it sounds very nice. It sounds beautiful and it's so poetic. And we're talking about how the body functions. Think about that for a moment.
What prayer is this one?
This is a prayer known as Asher Yotzar. Asher Yotzar is when we say it after using the facilities, the bathroom, after relieving ourselves. Okay, I've been called a lot of things, some of them nice and some of them not so nice. But imagine I'm talking to somebody who knows very little about Judaism, Jew or non-Jew, but they know very little about Judaism. And I say, before we go to the meeting, I need to use the facilities. Oh, sure, it's down the hall, no problem. And I come back and, you know, I've dried my hands and that's obvious. And I'm mumbling to myself. I'm mumbling. And I'm like I'm motioning. One second. Yeah. What are you doing? So fine, I finished the blessing and I say, well, I'm saying a blessing. You're doing what? In terms of the meeting? I said, no. I just went to the bathroom. And you're making a blessing on that? I said, well, not on that, it's after that. I don't make the blessing on that, it's afterwards. You're making a, Rabbi, can I get this straight? You're making a blessing, you're calling out to your God, and you're doing what? Well, I'm expressing my gratitude that everything worked, you know, that everything was functioning. You're talking to your God and you're telling him that you had a good experience. Let me see if I get this straight. It sounds nuts. It sounds crazy. But as we go through it tonight, I think you will walk away with an appreciation for not just the bodily functions, but concepts that really dig at the heart of what it means to have a Jewish religion and what's at a fundamental principle. So I'm just going to talk in general terms and then we'll go into the blessing itself. But if you noticed, if you were listening, it pretty much is straightforward. That is, we are taking the time to acknowledge that God created the human body with wisdom. We are now, thank God, and living in a day and age where technology and medical science has advanced to a point of where we have an unbelievable insight into a human body, how things work, how things function. And if God forbid something's not functioning the way it's supposed to, well, because we've advanced so far, we're able to correct, we're able to compensate for it with various either procedures or medication even. But it's only because we've come to understand how the body functions. However, if you were to ask a doctor to explain, right, why this happened, or what exactly is going to be afterwards, will the medicine do? He or she will not give you a definitive answer. I think it'll work, but if not, there's another medicine that doesn't have the same, you know, we know, but we really don't. Even with all that we know, we're still awestruck by how this thing works. I tell you honestly, and I hope no one takes offense to this, the fact that my wife gave birth to the first child was amazing, but that was nothing in my mind in comparison to the second time around. Knowing what the body went through for the first time, how the heck does it all go back to working again for a second time? It's mind-boggling. The first one is miraculous. The second is off the charts. It doesn't make, I mean, seriously, what do I know? I'm just an observer, you know? Like, but it's amazing.
And the sixth time.
And I mean, 3, 4, 5, and 6, you're like, forget it. This is beyond my comprehension. I would study the Zohar faster, you know, any book of mysticism before I understood how this thing works. We take the time to acknowledge that the bodily functions that we have, thank God, are working. It's not a small thing. We take it for granted until it doesn't work 100%. Just a simple stomach bug. You feel nauseous. You need to use the facilities. I'm not talking about where you have to do a prep for a procedure. That I don't even know what words to use for that. It is one of the most unpleasant experiences I've ever had. Right? It's extremely, you know what I'm talking
about? Yeah.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Wasn't as bad as I thought.
No, you can take mine next time. No. You take it and I'll go for the procedure. Horrible.
It wasn't great.
But it was, yeah, okay. My pain tolerance is pretty good, but that is just awful. But we take it for granted, and we shouldn't. This bracha is an expression of our gratitude for the amazing structure and functionality of the human body. Many of you were part of our group when we took the time to analyze the different parts of the body. Your body is your temple, that whole series of where we took the time to analyze what is that body part about and what's the significance in a spiritual aspect. We don't take that for granted. We shouldn't take it for granted. The normal and healthy functioning of the human body is miraculous. It is. I'll give you a simple, silly example. I was cutting my toenails last week. Why is that funny? Am I the only one that does that? Like, seriously. Why is that funny?
This is the image, I think.
The image of cutting my toenails. Okay, fine, you know. Psst, I'll let you on a secret. Rabbis have toenails too, and they need cutting. I know, don't tell anyone. But of course, I was thinking of a million other things and I wasn't focused. And of course, I cut the pinky toenail too short. Ouch, right? So of course, it bleeds. A simple, silly nothing, right? It hurt for 2 days. It really hurt. I'm talking about a toenail. It's like, come on. Yeah, but we take it for granted and we really shouldn't. We need to contemplate, let me say it better. We don't need to contemplate the cosmos. We don't need to contemplate the deep, dark secrets of the beginning of the universe and all of that to have an appreciation of God. You don't. Just look within your own body. You have to recognize the miraculous nature of how things go. The respiratory system, the digestive system, the fact that our body, the whole metabolism, how it breaks it down. And if you have too much of this, then the other part of the body has to kick in and produce more of that, and how it's all interconnected. It's fascinating. And then you get to our topic, excretion, getting rid of the waste product. We make a bracha on it. So Here's what I want you to understand. Let's go through this. I'm going to start with four basic questions based on the text of the bracha itself. And again, I'll read it to you. It starts, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, like every blessing begins. Ashe yatzar et ha'adam b'chachma. You, God, fashioned mankind, with wisdom. Pause for a moment. Okay, as a general statement, we can relate to that. It's quite a complex system. And obviously, God, with his wisdom, created a human being. But there's many other words you could have said, that you created man with intellect. You created man, right? What are some other words? Insight. I mean, you find different words in the Torah to represent wisdom. Why this word, wisdom? Question number one. Question number two is, it says that God fashioned, created mankind with wisdom. Do not other creatures have bodily functions? Why is it limiting it to say that you created et ha'adam? The chachma. You created mankind with wisdom. Animals have it. All creatures have it. Why do we specifically identify mankind? Number two, number three, if you keep reading, God fashioned man with wisdom and created within him nikavim, nikavim, chalulim, chalulim. No, I don't have a stuttering problem. In the blessing itself, it repeats the word twice for two different words. Nikavim, nikavim, which is a nice way of saying many holes, many orifices, chalulim, chalulim, and many open spaces, cavities within the body. That's one way you can say that. When you want to say many, you just repeat the word. You have holes upon holes and orifices upon orifices and open spaces upon open spaces. Okay, it's nice, nice and poetic, but there's got to be something more to this. Another question. You created all of this within mankind. It is known, is revealed and known, lifnei kisei kivodecha, before your throne of glory, that if one of them were to be opened or one of them would be blocked, it would be impossible to stand, to survive and stand before you. Why can't it just simply say, it is known and revealed before you? That if one of them, what do you mean in front of the throne of glory? All of a sudden, we're talking about an idea that represents perhaps the highest level of spirituality. I'll give you an example. When you talk about the angels where they praise God and they say, we say this in Kedusha, they say, Ayei mekom kivodecha. Where is your place of great of holiness? The angels can't even come close to understanding that level of godliness. And we say that I just did something in the bathroom, and you know what? It is known and revealed in front of the throne of glory. And we're not talking about the seat that's in there. I know that's what you were thinking. I know, I know. I know, different throne. This is with capital letters, the throne of glory. Really? We're emphasizing that in the highest levels of spirituality in the world, of godliness levels, this is what makes it to the top. My prayer for sustenance, my prayer for life, my prayer for my children, that gets close. But what I just did in the facilities, man, that makes it to the Kisei HaKavod, to the throne of glory? Really? It seems crazy. And finally, the last question, if one of them were to be opened, ruptured, or one of them blockage, efshar lehitkayem, there would be no way, they translate it as, it would be impossible, it would no longer be possible to exist, and stand before you. You know what? I made $1 million and I saved the stamp. I mean, where's the comparison here? If one of them were to rupture or one of them were to be blocked, I could not exist or stand before you.
Couldn't stand up anyway.
Right? There's got to be something more going on. And it ends, finally, blessed are you, Hashem, Rofei Kol Basar. The healer of all flesh, new term, umafli la'asot, and performs wondrous, how do they translate it as, who creates wondrously or acts wondrously. You started the blessing with, you created mankind, and then you end by saying you're the healer of all flesh. It doesn't say all of mankind, as if it's including everything. So I don't know about you, whether you were familiar with this blessing or not. If you were not, then this is eye-opening. If you have been familiar with this, shame on all of us. Because I say this multiple times every single day. I say it every day. And I don't know if I really took the time to be analytical the way we are tonight. But thank to you, I had to prepare. It is the mother of all inventions, because it forces me to sit down and say, maybe we need to analyze this a little better. So thank you for the opportunity. Let me open it up to you, to anybody. What are your thoughts on some of these questions that I've raised? I want to get some input from you.
Rabbi?
Yes, Marty.
You recognize my face.
No, it just happened to say Martin on the screen. I recognize the voice, yes.
The very first question, you translated it as who fashioned man with wisdom.
Yes.
Does that mean that man was fashioned with wisdom, or God's actions were wise in fashioning man?
Well, it's a good, that's
your
a good
action.
It's a good question. I would just say that the second alternative, the alternative that you're offering about that, we're defining the fact that God created man a certain way. It's defined as a wise act of creation. Forgive me, but who died and appointed us master to make that determination? Who are we to say that God created man wisely? What's the matter? Your speaker stopped working?
No, I'm...
You know what I'm
saying?
Just
looking at it from the perspective of God. God used his wisdom in creating man.
Okay, I'm in agreement, but
okay,
that's fine. It's the same thing. What I thought you were saying, though, is that we human beings are now giving a thumbs up and saying, "Oh,
no.
God fashioned man. That was wise. That was good." Who are we to make determination? I don't think that's our place. That's like me saying, you know, E equal MC squared. I agree with that. Who the heck am I? I know nothing about this stuff.
You know, I think it's a matter of accepting him and how he built the organs so that they are all in balance for us. They all work the way they're supposed to.
Correct. I
things
agree 100%.
Go in, things go out.
But it's not us giving God the approbation, giving him a thumbs up and saying, good job. It's an acknowledgement that it is an act of wisdom that produced this. This was not a random shuffling of amino acids that works so complexly and works so wondrously that just, hey, God got lucky on that one. I agree that that's not what's being said. It's rather, it's an acknowledgement that there's tremendous wisdom. The question that I'm asking is why that word, wisdom, which we're going to address. What else? Please, Robin.
The second one where you were talking about God fashioned mankind with wisdom, why limited to men?
Like, I don't mean men as opposed to
right.
women.
No,
I mean,
no, I know what you mean. Like not other animals. Like,
right, all other creatures.
Right, other creatures. My thought on that was because mankind have humankind have the capacity to think and control when they're going to have this happen, meaning, you know, it doesn't just come out like the animals, just comes out whenever and wherever it happens to be, whereas humankind can control when that happens and you know,
I don't have a pet, but from many friends who do have pets, they talk about training, you know, their animal, that there is some level of control. I don't know if it's a high level intellect that determines it, but there is a certain training. How about young children? We train them potty training.
Right.
I wouldn't call that high level, right? I would still put them in the category of an animal, right? Who's being trained that this is not the time. This is not how we do it. But why limit it to mankind? All creatures.
I don't think they think about it for such things.
Okay. So Marsha's adding a good piece here, and that is only mankind can thank God for that. So hold on to that thought. That's a good one.
And like I said, think about it. The babies or the animals, they don't think like, oh, I have to go, you know, whatever.
They just do it.
Right.
Okay.
Well, they do think because a dog's home all day long. And Baruch Hashem, when I come home,
still
he hasn't done anything in the house. And I will come in and he'll go right to the back door to go out. So he knows.
He's been trained.
Or even if it's not right away, if I'm home all day, he will go to the back door and scratch on the door that he wants to go out. So they do have a sense of control.
Is it control? Yeah. Yes, they could be trained. I think what Robin's saying is that I make a conscious decision to do or not to do. Animals don't have that level. They're trained because of either the treat or the punishment or whatever it is, they just train, I know I can't go here. As opposed to Robin suggesting that an intellect, right, within mankind makes a conscious decision that way, which might be true, but I don't know if that's enough of a reason to identify, because at the end of the blessing, we refer to God as the healer of all flesh, animal or human.
Well, he made sure that animal or human have all the cavities and the orifices they need to work. But only humans can thank him for that.
Fabulous. Okay. So let's build on that. Let's start with this. If I were to ask you, what is, and you can only have one answer, what is the most wondrous aspect of the human body? You only get one answer. And don't say it's functionality. You have to identify something specific. You only get one shot.
Say it again.
I want you to identify the one most unbelievable aspect, wondrous aspect of the human body.
Wait, can I ask if you're saying human body compared to non-human body?
No.
Or just in general?
Well, I mean, it's going to be different than, yes, human body.
I would say the heart.
The heart?
That's the function.
Animals have it.
Say that.
So she just asked me.
Yeah.
She just asked me that. And I'm giving you the hint that it's related specifically to human beings.
I think it's the mind.
Don't have what, Marsha?
The ability to think and speak.
Okay, so the mind. So I think Candy just spoke up. Was that you, Candy?
Yes, I said the mind.
The mind.
The ability of thinking.
Okay, we're getting warmer. Also the mind. Okay, another vote for the mind.
Well, because
inquiring mind, one of them.
The human mind functions differently than a animal.
Okay.
You know, you can human, you can write and if I hand a pencil to my dog, he's just gonna chew it up. So it's the level, because basically animals, humans have hearts. Function mostly the same way, pumping the blood and everything. But I think the mind in different species functions differently.
The intellect, you're saying that high level.
The intellect and function.
Okay. I'm going to add one. Anybody want to add? Because I got one more. Sharon?
Man has the ability to make choices.
That's not the human body, is it?
It's part of the mind.
It's okay. So the mind.
Okay.
The winters are deafeningly silent. Come on, winters. You're not going to leave me hanging. Come on. No. Alan and Sandy. Being very quiet here. Come on. Let's say you always have what to say, but you always leave it on mute. Come on, share with us. You had something to say.
Did you turn the microphone off or something?
Yeah. All of a sudden, they know where the mute button is.
Yeah. You can't do that on
purpose. I'll tell you what I think it is. I'll tell you what I think is the most wondrous aspect of the human body, which makes zero sense is that it houses a spiritual soul. How the heck does that, you were going to say that, Sandy? Oh, there you go. See, now she raises her hand. Yeah, sure. Right? Think about it. No matter what you're going to tell me, and all your answers are great because it is wondrous, the mind, the heart, how it functions, every aspect of it, but it's all within the realm of physics. How does a human body work together in tandem with something that has nothing in common with it? The soul. It's so incongruous, it makes no sense. And you say to me, well, but they're not really tied. It just happens to be, because it can't just be floating out there. Yeah, I'll prove it to you. What if somebody decides they're going to go on a starvation diet, right? And they starve themselves to death. Does the soul live? Did just the body die, or did the soul die too? I don't mean die as in never exist again, but does the person die?
No,
the soul no longer. The soul now goes back to heaven. Right. Why? Why? Because the person died. But why? Why should the soul be bound to whatever the body is doing? It should have nothing to do with it. I understand that from a conceptual standpoint. Right, Marcia, point to your soul right now.
You can't.
Why not?
Because it's not a tangible thing.
And yet, it's completely tied to your body.
Yeah.
Explain that to me.
Oh,
here it is. There it is. It's one of those wonders. Yes. And you know what? It's the number one wonder. It is the most astounding aspect of the human body, that it houses a non-human soul, a completely non-physical spiritual soul. The fact that they work together, the commentators on this verse, on this blessing, talk about it, and they all have this point. And that is, it doesn't make sense. Where does our soul come from? God. Be more specific. What's more specific than God? It comes from, in the terminology of rabbinic literature, it comes mitachat kisei hakavod. It comes from under the throne of God's glory. God's throne of glory. Whatever that means. The terminology that's used, that the soul is called a chelek, a portion, eloka mimal, God above. It's quote unquote a piece of God, but a non-physical piece. But we use the terminology to try to conceptualize. A soul is a piece of God. And again, I'm stressing this is not physics. Can't be, because God has no physical attributes. You're seeing how this is developing. I love it. Thank you. I appreciate it. The soul comes from under God's throne, which is beyond our comprehension. Yet it's attached to a physical body, which in the most mundane function expels waste. The highest, most lofty thing in our physical world is a soul. Right?
Right.
That is tied ball and chain to that which uses the bathroom. Can you pick two things that are farther apart? They represent the two extremes almost. Going to the bathroom is pure physics. The body has taken all the nutrients, all of its nourishment, and the excess, the waste, that which the body does not need or use, gets expelled. And that body is tied directly to the soul, and the soul to the body. This is how they translate those last two words of the blessing. Blessed are you, Hashem, the healer of all flesh, umafli lasos, and acts wondrously. Something that is so wonderful, and I don't mean it as yay, it's so wonderful. It's a wonder. That's where the word comes from. You are left with your jaw in wonderment. How the heck does this work? that your body and your soul work together. Perhaps now we can begin to understand some of the questions. God, in the beginning of the blessing, blessed are you, Hashem, God, King of the universe, who created mankind with wisdom. Yeah, it's unique. Animals, all other creatures, do not have souls like humans do. They do not. I've been asked the question, and if I'm insulting, I apologize. Animals do not have souls the way human beings have. They have a life essence. They have tremendous giving capacity. No question about it. But they don't have a neshama. The neshama is a word that means soul that is uniquely human. In fact, I don't know if we'll get to it, but there's another blessing just one page later called Elokai, my God, neshama shenosata bi, the soul that you have given to me, and we talk about that. The word neshama is used, in fact, it's the top of that same page here in the Leif Shalem Sidur. Right, Leif Shalem, yeah. Elokai, they translate, my God, the soul that you have given me is pure. You created it, you formed it, you breathed it into me. You watch over it when it's in me. In the future, you will take it from me, but then restore it to me. We call it a neshama. That is uniquely human. These two parts go together. You fashioned mankind with wisdom. Let's talk about this wisdom for a minute. I know, I think most of you, if not all of you, were with me at least through parts of the Aleph-Bet class. So we talked about the concept of gematria, of numerical values associated with each letter. And all that's true. I'm not going to retract anything I said. However, I want to add to our education a little bit. There's different formats of calculating gematria. The most basic is like we did. Aleph is 1, Bet is 2, Gimel 3, and so on. But there's also something which I know we spoke about called mispar katan, little numbers, meaning you drop the zeros. Ostensibly, right, is 1 and 10 have the same value of 1. You drop zeros. So technically an aleph, which is 1, and yud, which is 10, have the same mispar katan, the same small number. They're both 1, as would be 2 and 20. But give me another one that would end up with the number 1. 100. The letter kuf. Aleph, yud, and kuf would have the same numerical value in that system. Okay. If you didn't get it, don't worry. That's not what we're talking about tonight. Here's one more. And we did talk about this. When you spell the letter, I know it sounds crazy because in English, the name of the letter and how you spell it is the letter. But if, let's say, for argument's sake, you wanted to teach someone the sound of the letter B, you would say B-E-E, right? If you wanted to learn a phonetic spelling, that's not what, right? Well, in Hebrew, it works the same way. If I want to phonetically spell out the name of the letter, for example, Aleph, it would be three letters, Aleph, Lamed, Fe. Aleph, right? The letter Gimel would be Gimel, Mem, Lamed, Gimel, Dalet. I mean, all the letters work this way. Fascinating. If you take that full spelling of the word Chachma, wisdom, God fashioned man with Chachma. So that's the letter Chet, which if you spell it out phonetically, would be chet, yud, tav, chet. Okay? The chaf would be chaf, fe, chaf. Mem is mem, 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 right? And the last, hey, different versions of it, hey, yud, hey, hey, right? That's how you would phonetically spell those four letters. Everybody with me? If you take the gematria, you take the numerical value of the word chachma spelled out in totality using this method, You know what it adds up to? 613. 613. Think about it. Think about what is being said on a deeper level, my friends. God fashioned mankind b'chachma for the sake of 613 commandments. But wait, you know more than this already, because you also know, why is the number 613? Why? We've talked about this. It is the most random number. Jews are OCD. Let's call a spade. We like everything in nice, neat boxes. 10 commandments, not 11, not 11. It has to be, you know, 10 commandments. God brought the world 10 plagues. You're supposed to make 100 blessings a day, not 112. 100. The number 613 seems so random. It's a weird number, right? I know you know the answer, but I want to bring out the question. I'll let you, right? It's such a weird number. Not 610, not 615. Those are pretty, you know, 613. What's the answer? It's the number of commandments in the why? It's a random number, Sharon. God's not OCD? Oh, yes, he is. God is big time OCD. He wants things done a certain way. Don't tell him otherwise. He wants it done a certain way. I want you up at this hour, and you can only daven until this time. Make sure you go to sleep, because you still can't do mincha. I want it a certain way. He's OCD. 613 commandments. So we know the answer. The 613 are divided into positive and negative, do's and don'ts. Well, what's the breakdown?
There's more don'ts
than do's. Yes, there are more don'ts than do's. That's a good thing. That's how most of us get it above average. We stay away from the don'ts. What's the breakdown? 248 positive, 365 negative. Make a note of that. It will be on the final, okay? 248 positive, 365 negative. But guess what? Our sages identified, and we talked about this when we did the body class, that there are 248 organs of the body and 365 pathways. The sinews, the blood vessels, and the arteries, and all these things. It's just a coincidence? No, that's the point. Do you know about the wisdom of creating the human body? Yes, because there's 613 components to it. Why are there 613 components? Because there's a one-to-one correspondence to the 613 spiritual commandments that give essence, that give life force to those 613 organs of your body. You ask me, well, why didn't God make it 615? I don't know. I don't work on God's accounting team. But it wasn't just a random number. The number 613 is an exact correspondence to the human body. Yeah. Because, and this is the lesson you have to understand, we talk about this wondrous act of the fact that body and soul are working in tandem. You know why? Because you've got two parallel systems working at the same time. You have a human body that needs 613 energy pills, whatever you want to call it, right? So you eat matzah on Pesach. You must hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Those are the spiritual energy pills, right? That nourish your soul. Because there's both. You've got two things going on. You deal with your physical body and your spiritual side, and it's 613 on both. That's why they work together. We use, it's so interesting, very often in the books of Tanakh, you'll find terminology that try to use human emotions or human organs to talk about spiritual concepts. For example, if somebody is humble, you'll find in the Tanakh, you'll find he has a lev nishbar, translated as a broken heart. Really has a broken heart? He doesn't have a broken heart. You put in a pacemaker, it's not broken anymore. But it talks about a certain emotion. You want to talk about the intelligence, you talk about a lev shomea, a hearing or a listening heart. That's somebody who has, right, the intelligence, the ability, that understanding, compassion. The compassion. Or you talk about the kidneys that advise. Really? When's the last time you saw someone bending down to hear what the kidney had to say? Maybe that's why Dave says he's only got one. Yeah, right, okay, whatever, right? The idea is that he has a certain intuition. You find these terminologies throughout Tanakh. And only mankind, has that ability. No other creature has that 613, two parallel systems working at it. Every other creature is a physical creature. That's what it has. But you, God, fashioned mankind with wisdom so that he or she can accomplish 613. Chachma. Spell it out. All 613. You fashioned man with wisdom, with the functionality both of physical and spiritual to accomplish. And I take the time to acknowledge that when I have my system working. But it gets better. It gets even better. Because I told you, I bothered the fact that it repeats the words, nikavim, nikavim, many holes, chalulim, chalulim, many open spaces. Just get to the point, stop being so poetic. Just nikavim, chalulim, got holes in our and open spaces. It's not surprising. Love it, gotta love it. Chalulim, chalulim, it's 248. It's not. I checked. It's not. I came up with something. I don't think it's true. But nikavim, nikavim is the 248. I don't know what the other whole, I don't know. But chalulim, chalulim, the many open spaces, many, many, is the numerical value of those two together is 248. A perfect match. Right?
Wait, was it the holes or the spaces?
The spaces. The spaces are 248. That's what it says. Chalulim, chalulim. Okay? What we do in this bracha is we are taking the time to thank God for creating us as a dual being with both physical and spiritual. We have it both. Therefore, every one of these, both physical and spiritual organs, has a vital role to play in our existence. That's the message being stated here. So when it says that if one of them were to rupture or one of them would be blocked, what you need to go from this day forward, whenever you see that expression, when you say this blessing, do not limit it to the physical. If one of my intestines, God forbid, is blocked, or one of this ruptures, that's true. But how about a spiritual blockage? How about a spiritual rupture? Let me ask you this question. Is chesed, kindness, a good thing or bad thing? Good thing, good thing. You're good. You're good. Everybody's good. It's not. If it's too much. Too much chesed is not good. You heard it here first, folks. That's it. I revoking the rabbinic thing. That's it. You've done. You're off the. Yeah. I'll even prove it to you. In the section in the Torah where it talks about the forbidden sexual relations that a person is not allowed to have, right? They're close relative. We call it incest, right? One of them is dealing with a stepsister, okay? It talks about it in the Torah. This isn't some whacked out medrash or something. In the Torah, where it talks about not having, right? It says that if a person were to do that, chesed who? Chesed. Pretty sure you told me that's a good thing. I don't think that's a good thing, you know, unless you're living in West Virginia. You can't do that. That's a no-no. Yeah, because too much chesed is also not good. That's correct. That's correct. That is correct. Therefore, we have to understand that we stand before God, right? And we acknowledge this parallel system, to the dual system within us. And if something were to be blocked, or something were to rupture, both in my physical well-being and my spiritual well-being, I couldn't exist And you know what? I can't even stand before you. Why? There's a halacha. Listen to a fascinating Jewish law. Let's say time, I'm out in the field, I'm working, and the sun's going down. It's not Friday, don't get nervous. I'll make it in time for Shabbos. It's a regular Tuesday, regular Wednesday. But I hadn't davened mincha yet. Now, mincha, we know, the afternoon prayer, I have to finish by sundown-ish. Okay, we'll just call it that. Okay? And now I realize I haven't davened mincha yet. Liz didn't remind me that she does every day. Liz is like my personal reminder. She's like, Rabbi T, did you daven mincha yet? I said, no, I didn't do it. I'll get to it. Thank you. So let's say I'm out there in the field and I realize I didn't daven yet and I need to daven. So fine, I'm going to daven. Except all of the farm animals that I've been out there with, they've, how do I put this nicely? They left me presents. Right? And right there in front of me is fashmecht. You can smell it a mile away. Right? Am I allowed to daven in front of that?
No.
Am I allowed to daven in front of the excrement? The answer is no. One second, Rabbi. It's natural. Everybody, everything does it. There is a mitzvah in the Torah. V'haya machanecha kadosh. Your camp, your place where you are, should remain sanctified. They would have outhouses. You know why they were called outhouses?
Because they were out of the house.
They were out of the house. They were out in the field. They were away from where you live. Oh, we're so sophisticated. We put that stuff back in our house. But that's the point. Why do I want that schmutz in my house? Okay, convenience. I don't want to go out. It's cold. It's raining. I got it. But think about it. You want that schmutz in your house? Who wants that stuff?
Is that why they don't put the mezuzah on the bathroom?
Yes. That's why there's no mezuzah on the bathroom room. That's exactly why. Based on this concept. So I got to daven mincha, but I can't daven mincha right there. All right, so you have to deal with it. I got to move away. How far? Okay, smell. No. I'm just showing you that this is a halacha. This is if I have a blockage or I have a rupture or I have, let's call a spade here. I have an upset stomach, right? And I'm having some digestive issues, right? I can't stand before God and daven. I can't stand before God and learn Torah. I can't. What do you mean? I want to learn. I want to daven. But I can't. Because I am a human being that is both physical and spiritual. I have to take both into consideration. I can't ignore either one. And if there's physical excrement, I can't do my spiritual exercise. I can't do it there. The two have to work together. So now, let's start piecing all of this together again. So beautiful. We start the bracha by saying, Asher yatzar es ha'adam b'chachma. You, God, fashion mankind with wisdom. Oh, the animals aren't created with wisdom? They are, but that's not the wisdom we're talking about. We're talking about a wisdom that includes both aspects of physical and spiritual. Hence the word b'chachma, which we saw was 613. You fashion man with that. Ubaravo, and you created within him nikavim, nikavim, chalulim, chalulim. Orifices, holes, open spaces that represent 248. Okay, how to get the 365? I don't know. Maybe next time I'll get it. Galui viyadua, it is known and revealed, lefnei kisei kivodech, in front of your throne of glory. Yeah. You want this to be the conversation by the throne of glory? Yes. From a Jewish Torah perspective, the answer is yes. God cares about my physical and spiritual well-being. It's not only turning to God for the overtly spiritual things. The Jewish faith teaches us that the most mundane, literally the most mundane physical act is of significance, before God. My going to the bathroom and it functioning properly is an act of God. We shouldn't cheapen it and say, oh my God, I can't even talk about this. Why? That's the beauty of this bracha. The grossest, most mundane. Yeah, that is significant for God. It is in front of his throne of glory that if one of them were to be ruptured or but one of them were to be blocked, it would be impossible to survive or stand before God and do the spiritual if my physical is not working properly. I can't even do the spiritual in front of him. Blessed are you, Hashem, who does two things. One, who heals all flesh, because that applies to every creature out there. But on top of it, and who acts wondrously with mankind, the wonder of all wonders is the merging of body and soul. Only mankind has that. I don't know what else to say. This is such a profound blessing on what you would have thought would have been a topic that's taboo to even talk about, let alone in a shul. Yeah. But that's not the Torah perspective. There's so much here. I'll share with you quickly. This idea of merging body and soul is seen throughout the Torah. It's all over the place. I'll give you one example that I came across that I liked. It was different. We know that the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, right? The highest spiritual figure in Judaism, wore 8 special garments when he performed the service. Whether it was on Yom Kippur is a different service, couldn't wear certain gold vestments because he was going into the Holy of Holies, didn't want to remind God of the golden calf. But on a typical, again, on a typical Tuesday, he wore, anytime he did any kind of service, he wore 8 special garments. There's an interplay between two of them. The ephod, which in English they translate as the apron, and the choshen, the breastplate. Okay, let's just talk for a moment about these two garments. The ephod is the apron. It looked like an apron, looked actually like it was put on backwards. The hole was in the back, so to say, right? I mean, it laid out as if it were an apron, but a very simple article of clothing. The choshen, the breastplate, now we're talking exotic. We're talking about a plate that had 12 different gemstones, that had the names of the tribes and the patriarchs and AI all engraved either on or under them. Pretty fancy schmancy. But the Torah goes out of the way to tell us that the ephod and the choshen shall never be separated. They need to be together. Maimonides, when he codifies this under Jewish law, he actually says it's a Torah prohibition to separate them. If separating them is such a transgression, I think we need to look at it from the other perspective. Their unification, the fact that they are meant to be together, must be teaching us a lesson that they shouldn't be separated. So what are they? What is this lesson? So perhaps, and I found this a beautiful article that touched on this, that I thought really brings home this message. The ephod, as I said, the ephod is, it looks like an apron. It was draped over the lower back and the legs of the Kohen Gadol. It was wrapped around, partially covering the front of his body. And again, it was tied in the front. Straps in the back, went up to his shoulders. They had certain stones, onyx stones on his shoulders. Okay. Hanging from it was the choshen. And as I said, it's got all these different names on it. Behind the choshen, there was a fold, a metal fold. It was really the back of the choshen, like a V, in which the name of God was put in. You know the famous story they would talk about that somebody would ask of the breastplate and it would light up and he would get the answer. You know the famous story with Hannah, that the Kohen at the time, his name was Eli, and he thought she was drunk. Well, she was quietly praying, and that was a unique thing at the time. But he went to ask of the breastplate, like, what's her deal? And 4 letters lit up on the breastplate, 4 letters. Chaf, Shin, Resh, He. Chaf, Shin, Resh, He. He unjumbled it, and he spelled the word Shikora. Shikora is the feminine for a shikar. What's a shikar? A drunkard. So shikora, he read those four letters as shikora. And therefore, he accused her of being drunk. Why would you come into the temple and speak this way? It's not appropriate. And she had to explain herself that it's not that case. But what was the real message that was supposed to be lit up? It's not shikora. So if you read it the way I just told it to you, off of kaf, shin, resh, hey, it could be read either as kishera, kosher, right? She's legit. Or kisara. She's on a lofty spiritual level like Sarah, our matriarch. Spelled the same way. Whatever. The point is that the choshen, this breastplate, was the method by which, yeah. So you have this most spiritual aspect being hung together with an apron. Sandy, Alan, I'm sure there are many a time, I love picking on him. He's great. And he says, and he, I like, thank you. May I please have another. Right. I love that. It's great. Right. I'm sure there've been times of where you put on an apron to help wash the dishes or to work around.
Yes.
Okay. So now he knows how to say yes. Right. That he speaks up for. Right. Right. Why does a person put on an apron? To stay clean. Cause you don't want to get your clothes dirty. You don't want to get your clothes dirty, so you put on some external shmata, you put on some external thing that you don't care whether it gets dirty or not, so that your essence stays clean. Hey, is that a high spiritual, you know, that's physics, man. That's the basic physics. You don't want to get your good clothes dirty, so you put on an apron. That has to be at all times connected to the breastplate, that is the symbol of pure spirituality, communication with God. The two going in, washing dishes with an apron and getting a message from God. Yeah, because those two go together. There is no separation between physical and spiritual. We are the hybrid. We are to be focused on both because they work in tandem. That's the way it has to be. And if you think about it, it really represents, and we've spoken about this, the idea of what a perfect marriage is supposed to be. A perfect relationship is supposed to be. We're told that we know that the name Ish and Isha, man and woman, they both have the same letters except for two. Two of them they have in common. Ish is Aleph, Yud, Shin. Aleph and Shin, right, with a Yud in the middle. And Isha is Aleph, Shin, with a Hey at the end. They both share the Aleph and Shin, but one has a Yud and one has a Hey. Well, the Yud and the Hey represent this world and the next. Look back. If you want to review, go back to www.shoresh.com, adult ed, Aleph Bet, review the letter Yud and Hey. Okay. That's what it is. But Yud and Hey also is what? When you put the two together, what does it spell? It's God's name. It's God's name. So Ish and Isha, which represents the physical union between a man and a woman, they come together, they're married, they're living a physical life, but what's included in that life is the spirituality, the godliness, the Yud and the Hey, woven into it. If you to remove the Yud and Hey, and they're living just as pure physical animals, take the Yud out and take the Hey out, what are you left with? Aleph, Shin, in both of them. What does that spell? Aleph Shin spells Aish.
Fire.
Fire. That's all it is. It's only because they have to have that spiritual component. That's what makes it more. That's what makes it real. That's the combination. This bracha, and again, if you want to find it in your siddur, if it's something I didn't mention, ask me where it is. It's worth it. Many, many Jewish homes will have this as either a laminated or a nice fancy one right outside the bathroom on the main floor. We have one. But the key isn't just having it on the wall like everything else. It's practice. Take the time to learn it and say it in English. It doesn't matter. But say it. Say it and take the time to think that what it is I'm expressing is my gratitude, not just that it's physically, it's working, which don't take for granted. I think we've all had those experiences and we hope never to have them again. But on a much deeper level. It's my physical and spiritual functionality that's working. And they have to work together. And I acknowledge that and I say thank you. Not once, not twice, but however many times a day. That's the time to say it. It's a beautiful blessing. Absolutely beautiful. Any questions?
Spell the name of the prayer.
Yes, A-S-H-E-R, Asher. Let, next word, Yatzar. Y-A-T-Z-A-R.
Where is it? I'm not finding anywhere. Where is it normally found?
In the red one? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Page 99. And in the art scroll, it's page 15.
14.
99 and 15. And then if someone else has a different book, it shouldn't be too hard to find. All right. Any questions? There's more to this, but it's late. Anything from the peanut gallery?
Does it refer to any use of the facilities?
If you're going to blow your nose, no.
No. One or two.
Wash your hand. No, we're talking one and two.
One and two. Okay. My other question is this where we're calling it the throne comes from?
I'm not going there. She wants to know why is that where the term sitting on the throne comes from. I don't know. I'll stick to what I know.
Mel Brooks could tell us.
Yes, Mel Brooks can probably tell you a whole story about it. Correct. All right, so we good? Candy, I'm sorry, I don't know a song for it.
Thank you.
There actually is. My girls can do it. One of the nicest thing, the school that my girls go to, everything that they learn, almost everything is put to song. Everything. Blessings are put to song. The names of the Parshia are it's all done. And they remember it. It's great. So Asha Yatzar, I'm sure they have some song that they sing it to.
Yeah.
I can, but
I know.
I'm just thankful she drives. That's all. All right. If that's it, we're good. Okay. Wonderful. Great seeing, or at least somewhat seeing you, hearing from some of you. All right. Have a great night.